My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I don't know if I've ever seen Matt Steinmetz like that before. That was the happiest I've ever seen him in my entire life, right there. Can you imagine? Did you ever think you'd see a day when Matt Steinmetz would be like, nothing's bugging me? I'm just happy.
I've seen it a few times.
I'm just happy.
He and I go way back.
I know you do.
It's few and far between. And I do know this.
Good for
him. We're coming up on our tourney. It's tourney season, which the tournament would be 3 weeks from tomorrow. And so you want to be playing your best golf come tourney season. And I hate to jinx him.
Yeah, well, no, but it was obvious.
He's playing his best golf right now.
It was obvious. I didn't want to say it to him either. He's just sitting here, wow, gosh, you know, Rick Wood. And I'm like, dude, you shot a 79 or something, didn't you? It's just all over his face. But anyway, whatever. How's everybody doing? Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. What'd you think? What'd you think of the whole production yesterday?
I thought it was incredible. I thought it was a 5 out of 5, a 10 out of 10, whatever you want to grade it on. I thought the park looked great. I thought the ceremonies were awesome. Reggie Jackson kind of stole the show, which I know we're going to play the Reggie audio. And I think you said it perfectly in our show thread. You can't play that sound enough, especially, you know, white guy to white guy. It's a constant reminder, for me anyway, of, you know, remembering what this country has been about and also remembering what, you know, people of color, black people went through and continue to go through in this country. So for me, it serves as a great reminder. It's a 2-minute soundbite that really just kind of reminds me of how awful this country is to some people.
Well, enough references to the point where if you have not heard this, we'll play it for you here in just a moment. It's been circulating now for obviously almost 24 hours since he said it. But I Dibs, I am so, so thankful that he did that. Because one, it was courageous, but two, it was something that was so needed that I didn't even know was needed.
Right.
I had been thinking about this all week and I didn't really know what to do with it in my mind. Two different things happening at the same time, seemingly opposed. And here's what I mean by that. I was very interested in this event. I thought, what a unique thing. You know, the minute they announced this a year ago, I'm like, I need to be there. I want to go. Didn't come together. Whatever. Fine. But I was so interested. I was so excited that Willie Mays was so attached to it, that the Giants were a part of it. I loved how much we all learned through the process. But there was a little thing somewhere in my gut that was kind of gnawing at this whole thing. All year long as we move toward it. We want to celebrate the players who in some ways had to go through here. But what happened there was not to be celebrated. So what do you do with that? You want to acknowledge the Negro League players without sort of like also celebrating the fact that there had to be a Negro League because racism was so, so awful then, continues to be really some of the worst stuff that there is on earth, and obviously continues to be something that we're hit in the face with every single day. We've got an election in about 3 or 4 months, and this subject is right at the forefront of it, continues to be. So this gnawed at me because I'm like, Birmingham, Alabama, the players who weren't lucky enough to play at Rickwood, they had to play at Rickwood because they weren't allowed to play in some of the cathedrals in other cities around the country. I didn't know kind of what to do with that. You want to celebrate, you want to acknowledge the Negro League players who are still alive, who came out onto the field, looked like they were just overcome with joy that they were being acknowledged, that they were being represented. And I loved that part of it. But there was also this other piece where you're like, what, like, are we going to act like this was all wonderful?
Right.
Does this, hey, white baseball, does this make you feel better about yourself now? Does this make you feel better about your history? Do you feel like this is an apology? Is that okay? That gnawed at me. And I'm like, I'm not really sure how to express this. Thank you, Reggie Jackson.
Exactly.
You just went and did it. Well, that's what I was feeling.
And you and I could never express any part of it as far as like what we think that it would mean to anybody. And for Reggie to talk about it, playing there as a minor leaguer, obviously he played in the post-Negro League era, and so he had to go there as a minor leaguer. And again, you didn't have much of a choice when you were a double-A player and you got assigned to Birmingham and you had to go there. And the stories that he told in that Fox pregame and just the way he was so real and raw about that and the way he expressed it, it did exactly remind me of what you're talking about. And he brings up the 1965 church bombings, and there are so many atrocities that happened to people of color, to black people in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. I don't know all of it, and I wish that I was more well-versed in it, and I learn more and more each and every day about what they did to Tulsa, for example, where they took out an entire community and basically decimated it, and it would never recover. Tulsa, one of the great black centers in our country, and they went in and burned the entire thing down, and by they, I mean white people. I mean, you know, racists and Ku Klux Klan members and the church bombings. And Reggie brings it up again, and he had to go there and play and be called all kinds of things and not be able to stay and eat and all those things. And it's a great reminder, not only for me, somebody who's old enough to have learned a lot, but also younger people who were born in America at a time where, you know, you don't understand the history of hatred in this country.
888-957-9570. For those of you who have not yet heard what Reggie Jackson said, this came on the panel last night pregame, and Alex Rodriguez, and I'll paraphrase, simply asked Reggie what it meant to him to be back in Birmingham, Alabama, and at that stadium. And here's his answer.
Coming back here is not easy. The racism that I played here, when I played here, the difficulty of going through different places where we traveled. Fortunately, I had a manager and I had players on the team that helped me get through it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody. People said to me today, I spoke and they said, you think you're a better person? You think you won when you played here and conquered? I said, you know, I would never want to do it again. I walked into restaurants and they would point at me and said, the can't eat here. I would go to a hotel and they say, the can't stay here. We went to Charlie Finley's country club for a welcome home dinner and they pointed me out with the N-word. He can't come in here. Finley marched the whole team out. Finally, they let me in there. He said, we're going to go to the diner and eat hamburgers. We'll go where we're wanted. Fortunately, I had a manager, Johnny McNamara, that if I couldn't eat, If I couldn't, thank you. If I couldn't eat in a place, nobody would eat. We'd get food to travel. If I couldn't stay in a hotel, they'd drive to the next hotel and find a place where I could stay. Had it not been for Raleigh Fingers, Johnny McNamara, Dave Duncan, Joe and Sharon Rudy, I slept on their couch 3-4 nights a week for about a month and a half. Finally, they were threatened that they would burn our apartment complex down unless I got out. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. The year I came here, Bull Connor was the sheriff the year before. And they took minor league baseball out of here because in 1963, the Klan murdered 4 black girls, children, in 11, 12, 14 years old at a church here and never got indicted. It was there from the Klan. Life magazine did a story on them like they were being honored. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. At the same time, had it not been for my white friends, had it not been for a white manager and Rudy Fingers and Duncan and Lee Myers, I would have never made it. I was too physically violent. I was ready to physically fight some. I'd have got killed here because I'd have beat someone's ass, and you'd have saw me in an oak tree somewhere.
Thank you, Reggie Jackson.
My God.
For doing exactly what I couldn't even put my finger on what's the right way to do all of this. And I bet Reggie sat when they invited him. This is just my guess now. When he got invited back by Major League Baseball, I bet he sat there for a day or two or a week and he thought about it because he's the first thing he said, wasn't easy coming back here. But Reggie did two things. A, he showed up. He showed up to be honored, but then he also told the truth about what this was,
right,
that we're sitting here honoring. So make sure, and this is the coaching that I've accepted, make sure we're honoring the right things. Make sure we're honoring Willie Mays. Make sure we're honoring those Negro League players who are still with us, who in some cases were wheeled out onto the playing field last night. Let's make sure we're honoring those who had to deal with that place rather than just honoring that place. That's an important distinction that Reggie, I think, helped America arrive at.
Right, and to also deliver in a verbal fashion the history of what actually took place there beyond just the Negro League team and Rickwood Field and, hey, MLB's back. And I do think there's a certain sense of the whitewashing of history when you just add those numbers to the record book. Yeah. You know, it kind of takes what those players had to go through and just, you know, hey, it was pro ball, we know that, so come on into the record books and we're just going to lump those numbers in.
There's no clean way to do it.
There's no easy way to do it, and I do like the gesture from MLB to recognize that those were major league numbers. So you're right, there is no easy way to go about adding those in, but I do think that there's a certain sense of the whitewashing of it, and sure, like, okay, now that your numbers are in, all's forgiven, right, everybody? And for Reggie to speak the way he spoke about his experience, and, you know, for Joe Rudy and his wife to take him in their apartment in Birmingham, and then after a month and a half, the word gets out that Reggie's staying there, and now we're going to burn down the building. And this is not, you know, 1861 now. This is only about 65, 70 years ago, and it just reminds me of what still goes on in this country. And yep, so the word I used in the crossover is one that I'm trying to really keep in the front of my mind about giving grace, not only to black people, but all people, understanding, you know, what their life has been, what their day has been, instead of, and you know, you pointed it out during the crossover and you did it partly tongue in cheek at me because I am down to flip the bird, but it's about just grace in general. Like, can we give each other a little bit of room? Can we take a breath and realize that whatever person, whatever color, whatever situation, maybe they're having a day.
Well, and I think that there's that, and there's also just what experiencing this yesterday really helped bring some clarity to what it is we're celebrating. And so that's what I chose to do. Is I chose to focus on this being a celebration of certain people, not a city, And the ballpark is a piece, it's the backdrop for this. But yesterday was about celebrating people who should have been celebrated a different way and a long time ago. And so it's, and I think Willie even said this once upon a time, and he might have been talking about Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame. Better late than never. And so here we are. We arrived at an opportunity yesterday to celebrate people who should have been celebrated a long time ago. And so it would have been better for it to be early, but it's better late than never. And here we are. 888-957-9570. We'd love to hear from you on this. We got a lot of Rick Wood reaction, and we will get into Giants baseball and that side of it as we approach July and the Giants doldrums have just not stopped. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibbs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Do that for our other shows as well, Steiny and Goo and The Morning Roast with Bonte and Joe. Dave Fleming, who was there, of course, at Rickwood, was on with them this morning, and so you may want to check that out on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Your calls next. It's Willard and Dibbs, Tom Verducci, coming up in a half hour.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we're nowhere near done with last night, and Tom Verducci is going to join us in a half hour. However, Dibbs and I, we were just sitting here looking at the National League standings, and they are kind of gross.
Right?
Whenever your team, whoever you root for in this muck, when they lose three in a row, you're like, oh, crap, we're falling behind. Are you? Peep this real quick, and then we're going to the phones. Two games in the standings separate nine teams.
Nine teams?
This is starting with the number two wild card team and going all the way down the standings to teams that are within two games, not of the third wild card, of the second wild card, currently held by the Cardinals with a 500 record due to their win at Rickwood Field last night.
Yeah.
So they hold the second wild card spot, half game ahead of the Padres and Diamondbacks that hold the third wild card spot, and a full game ahead of the Mets, Pirates, and Nationals, and then a full two games ahead of the Cubs, Giants, and Reds. So let me say that a different way. All separated by two games. Watch this. Cardinals, Padres, Diamondbacks, Mets, Pirates, Nationals, Cubs, Giants, Reds. All separated by two games, and gather them all together, and they are ahead of two teams in the National League.
So nine teams are two games apart.
And the Giants are ahead. Like, we have a better record than the Rockies and the Marlins.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
I mean, and now four games below 500. And I know yesterday was about so much more than another Giants loss.
Totally.
And we are going to get to that more than we will to another Giants loss. But you lose that game, and now you're four games below 500. And we had a show thread going earlier, Mark Grandy coming in hot, as he always does, about what to do, trade deadline. And I know we are still 40 days away, 40 days and 40 nights, which is darn near 6 weeks. But over the next 6 weeks, this is going to be a time where Farhan has to make a decision, and the Giants will have to make a decision based on where this team is.
They could also be in a playoff spot when we get back on Monday.
No doubt. No doubt.
They could.
Or so, they could lose 11 of 14 and be three games out of a playoff spot.
That's true, too.
Because this National League is going to be mediocrity works this year. That should be the slogan for the Giants.
Except for all you're asking for out of those nine teams, have two of them just go on a little bit of a heater. That's it. Just a little bit of a heater. Not even a great heater. You don't need to win 11 in a row.
Right.
Win 8 of 11 and watch what happens. Gone.
Well, even if you look at that, and I know we're going to Rickwood and we're going to the phones, but if you look at just those teams you mentioned, the Mets have won 8 of 10, and they're still on the outside looking in.
They were excessively bad.
No, they were. That's my point. Is they had to win 8 of 10 to get to where they're just two games below 500.
Correct.
So the Giants could lose 8 of 11, and then they could win 11 of 14, and they would be... Exactly. All of a sudden, you're a playoff team. So none of this is going to get resolved until way, way, way down the road.
The Giants situation is a little more complex in that they've got, you know, two starting pitchers. So we'll get to all of it. But just circling back to the review from last night, I will say this. I thought the broadcast did a great job. I thought anybody involved with putting the ballpark together did a great job. I thought the ceremony was very well done. I thought the acknowledgments, very, very well done. Obviously, Willie's passing 48 hours before this game is just like overwhelmingly emotional. And so his imprint was all over this entire week in so many profound ways. And so I really think everybody came out of this with a good feeling about the actual product and the event. What we were talking about a few minutes ago is, for me, I wanted to allow this to be an acknowledgement of the right things. So, and we've had conversations about so many things this week, but it's for me now less about, oh, baseball is doing the right thing, or this is a unique event, or even like we talked about yesterday, baseball's reaching out to the young black player to see if they can, whatever. I wanted this, and Reggie Jackson helped us get, at least helped me get there. Make sure we're acknowledging the right thing. And this is not a victory lap for Birmingham, Alabama. This is an acknowledgement that is way too late, but better late than never, for a bunch of people who worked their butts off and were put through untold hell in order to simply play baseball and be humans and show us their incredible gifts. And I want this acknowledgement to really, for me, be just about them, be just about those people who had to do that and wish they didn't.
Yeah, and I think that Major League Baseball struck the right tone, and the Fox broadcast did as well, but Reggie Jackson was the one who took all of the pomp and the circumstance, and in 2.5 minutes, put it right on everyone's plate and made it clear what it was about for him, somebody who went through it. And that's where I think, you know, yes, it was about Willie and what an amazing player, what an amazing human being, and all the other Negro League players who went through it. Yes, we celebrate them and the journey, and it sucks that they had to go through it, and they are all great players, but what Reggie did made all of that come center stage into what exactly was going on.
Some of you are on hold and want to go right to you, but we also want to acknowledge those who maybe just turned the radio on within the last 15 minutes and are like, what did Reggie say? If you haven't heard it yet. So Alex Rodriguez on the pregame panel last night asked Reggie, who played for the Birmingham A's, and asked him what it meant to be back here in this city, in this building, and here's what Reggie said.
Coming back here is not easy. The racism that I played here, when I played here, the difficulty of going through different places where we traveled. Fortunately, I had a manager and I had players on the team that helped me get through it. But I wouldn't wish it on anybody. People said to me today, I spoke and they said, you think you're a better person? You think you won when you played here and conquered? I said, you know, I would never want to do it again. I walked into restaurants and they would point at me and said, the can't eat here. I would go to a hotel and they say, the can't stay here. We went to Charlie Finley's country club for a welcome home dinner and they pointed me out with the N-word. He can't come in here. Finley marched the whole team out. Finally, they let me in there. He said, we're going to go to the diner and eat hamburgers. We'll go where we're wanted. Fortunately, I had a manager, Johnny McNamara, that if I couldn't eat in the place, nobody would eat. We'd get food to travel. If I couldn't stay in a hotel, they'd drive to the next hotel and find a place where I could stay. Had it not been for Raleigh Fingers, Johnny McNamara, Dave Duncan, Joe and Sharon Rudy, I slept on their couch 3-4 nights a week for about a month and a half. Finally, they were threatened that they would burn our apartment complex down unless I got out. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. The year I came here, Bull Connor was the sheriff the year before. And they took minor league baseball out of here. Because in 1963, the Klan murdered 4 black girls, children, in 11, 12, 14 years old at a church here and never got indicted. It was there from the Klan. Life magazine did a story on them like they were being honored. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. At the same time, had it not been for my white friends, had it not been for a white manager, and Rudy Fingers and Duncan and Lee Myers, I would have never made it. I was too physically violent. I was ready to physically fight some. I'd have got killed here because I'd have beat someone's ass, and you'd have saw me in an oak tree somewhere.
I mean, obviously, there are pieces that are very, very difficult to listen to, but I think that's the point. Everybody needed to hear that. I just appreciate the hell out of Reggie Jackson for doing that, for taking it there, for having the courage to say what he said on national TV. Let's talk to you, one of our good friends, Grandpa Daddy in Hayward. Hey, GPD, what are you doing?
Wow, man, I just want to tell you guys, man, that you're doing exactly what you should do. You say you don't know what you're doing, Willard, you know, Dibs, you're doing it. You're recognizing it, and you're giving it its due, bro. I mean, I was born in 1961. Even though I went to places that didn't stop me from eating, I still, when I was a kid, couldn't wonder why, hey, Mommy, why can't we eat here? You know, I was too young to know. And as I grew up like people hate me for the color of my skin. And it's, you know, for all you white folks that helped us, I mean, that's the thing, man. There's good white people, man. Like us blacks, we wouldn't be able to go through the civil rights movement without those righteous white people that helped us, bro. Like, people don't give white folks their due, those that deserve it. Like Raleigh Fingers, like he was saying. there was a lot of racism, but there was those good white folks, man, that knew what was right and knew what was wrong. I'm going to thank you two for giving this its righteous spot and just saying what you feel, because you can never feel the skin that I'm in. So what do you do? All you can do is just sit back, acknowledge it, and give it its due. Yeah, you don't want to celebrate that time, but now you celebrate the people that went through it, and I want to thank you personally. This is what I loved about it. When I met you guys at the first summer, man, I was like, you know, between, this is a black thing, I'm like, man, no white boys, they cool. And I freaking love you guys, man. I could just feel it, man, the way you guys embraced me and I thank you for being one of the righteous white folks that know it was wrong, and you're acknowledging it, and you're doing it right now by airing everything, you know, what Reggie Jackson said. I mean, that's real talk, bro. You really don't know how terrible it is to walk in some. I mean, even to this day, sometimes I walk in the store. I can't remember. I'll never forget. I was in Orange County driving a brand new BMW. I had topsiders on, polo shirt and shorts. And I'm in a Raleigh's grocery store in Orange County. And then all of a sudden, somebody was following me.
Yep.
I'm like, and then I went down the aisle and I made a quick right turn and another right turn, and I stopped to turn around, and the dude came around real quick and then almost bumped into me. I'm like, bro, you following me? Oh, no. And then I realized, I looked around. I didn't even realize it. I was the only black person in the store, bro. I mean, like, hundreds of people. This is like Orange County proper. Right down in what was it, Mission Viejo or something like that?
Yeah,
huh? Yeah. I mean, like, I was the only black person in the store, bro. And then I realized, wow, y'all still tripping? I mean, like, I was dressed like a white boy, but I was black, right?
Topsiders.
you had the Orange County uniform on. You had the OC uni on, GPD.
Bro, I couldn't believe it. And then I was driving a brand new BMW. I came out the store. I'm walking with my car to my car. And then this older white lady was putting her groceries in the back of her car. And she didn't see me. And then when I got close to her, she turned and saw me and grabbed her purse. And then I was like, hello, how you doing today? And she looked, and then I got in the car right next to her. Brand new BMW that I can just see her just like, oh, it's okay. She must be one of us. He got money.
Must be.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Bro.
GPD, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Man. Thank you for the words as always. We love having you along for our ride. And, you know, look, sometimes this, I know it falls flat because it's the same reminders that we get all the time through our lives. And you know what I mean? It's like you remind yourself and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to do this different. Or I'm going to do that different. And it lasts for a day or a week or a month or whatever. It's just like New Year's resolutions. I'm going to lose 20 pounds by January 8th. You're like, I lost my gym membership card. I can't even find it.
Totally.
And that's the end of that. So like, I don't want to sit here on some sort of a high horse and try to tell. This is just how it hit me. Is these thoughts were already bouncing in my head, and I didn't know how to express them the right way until Reggie did that, which is that this can be a good and a bad thing almost at the same time, which is. Like Reggie did, go there.
Yeah.
Go there and talk about it and acknowledge this and celebrate it. But that's my only sort of clarity. Know what you're celebrating. I choose to celebrate those people who had to do this in a way that they shouldn't have had to do it. And the other thing with what GPD just mentioned, and look, I wasn't alive in the 60s. So Sometimes you look back on a different time in life, I think. No matter when you were born, you look back on a time when you weren't alive. And you go, okay, can we really hold it against those people? I don't know what life was like back then. Was it lack of education? Is it geography? Did they just not know any better? You know, Raleigh Fingers comes on with Steiny and Goo, and that helps me when you talk about someone like Bull Connor.
Oh, yeah.
Who, if you read about him.
I've been doing it all day, Mark, and this is one of the most vile human beings that's ever walked the earth.
And so before you go, oh, that was the 60s and it was Birmingham, Alabama, and he didn't know any better. Well, no, because there's plenty of people who did. And that, to me, should shape, for me, it shapes how I view those who walked before us.
For sure.
Because there were plenty of people who were fully aware about just something as simple as how you treat other human beings.
Yeah. And I'm reading through some of the history of Bull Connor, and on a day in 1963, he arrested 959 children ages 6 to 18 because they attempted to march to the Birmingham City Hall. That's all.
Yep.
1,000 kids marching, you're all arrested, and they all were black children. And of course, the bombing that he authored as a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And the thing that I constantly want to remind myself of is, unfortunately, there are still Bull Connors walking among us today. And so many of the things that, you know, Reggie Jackson had to deal with in the 60s and the people who came before Reggie Jackson and all the other athletes and all the rest of it, these problems are still existing today. So, you know, what Grandpa Daddy just said is something that I take to heart. It's like, there's nothing that you and I could ever possibly do in our lives to understand what black people, Grandpa Daddy, and all the rest go through. There's no way we can ever possibly know. But what can we do? We can listen, and we can learn, and we can do all we can to try to, you know, ward out the evil that is still, unfortunately, a part of our society.
Well, I tell you what, you know, something that stands out to me that I think will help a lot of people, that's why I share it. This is a story that came from the show that I do on Sunday nights with Ephraim from just a few months back. A few months back, I was having a conversation with him, and I was just sharing. Do you remember when the Lakers eliminated the Warriors? Game 6,
right,
a little bit over a year ago. I had a story from that night. I ended up missing about a quarter of the game because my dog jumped through our window. She saw something outside. She jumped through our window and she took off. And she, I mean, took off.
The window was open, right?
The window was open. Okay. If you remember that day, it was incredibly hot. It was a very, very hot day. So we had a window that's kind of like very low, open. And she saw something outside. I don't know if she saw an animal, whatever. And she stuck her head out, and I thought she was just getting a little breath. And nope, gone. And I mean gone. She's now got an air tag on her because of moments like these. I won't let it happen again. But like the third quarter, for me, gone. Because we were running around in the streets looking for my dog. And we live in an area that's got, it's not symmetrical. There's a lot of wooded areas. This person's backyard, that, and the dog is just running all over the place. And I'm telling Ephraim this story. And I'm just like jovial laughing because we found her and everything's fine. But jovial laughed about it. You should have seen me. I was walking up through the woods and found myself in this person's driveway. And now I'm over in that backyard.
Right.
And I'm like, and I said something about, can you relate to this? And he goes, brother, are you kidding me? You think as a black man that I have the courage to just walk into somebody else's front yard?
Wow.
Do you know what can happen to me legally now if I just walk? Like, do I need to tell you these stories? And I mean, it stopped me in my tracks, and I was just like, brother,
wow.
You're stopped.
Yeah.
You're like, that didn't even cross my mind.
Right.
And he's like, of course, it doesn't cross your mind because that's our privilege. So anybody out there, and I know there's this out there. We have a text right now sitting right here in front of me on my computer screen saying, well, there's reverse racism everywhere. Every single race right now is experiencing this. You don't know. I like, whoever you are, you may feel attacked. Like, that's just part of life, and it's part of the way that maybe everybody's brains work. But if you think that, even if there's something on TV that makes you feel, oh, they took a statue down and I feel attacked, We're talking about, to me, and this is what Reggie Jackson was talking about, the basics of just being able to function.
Right.
Just to walk out your front door.
Have a meal. Have a place to stay.
And be safe. And I don't mean attacked like, I don't like what he said. No, like attacked like killed.
Right.
That's what Reggie's talking about. That's the stuff that was happening in Birmingham. That's the stuff. That's who I want to celebrate, is the people who had to deal with that. And no white person has ever had to deal with that anywhere.
Exactly.
Ever.
No.
Period.
End of sentence. And that's where, you know, and you talk a lot about your privilege and my privilege, and it's something that I want to constantly be aware of, not only day to day, but in terms of like how many things that, you know, if I get mad about something or something that's frustrating, it's like, you know, dial it back and think about like the story you just told about trying to find your dog. And I'm sure you're walking through people's side gate and you're totally hopping fences and you're just free willing.
Like, y'all seen my dog?
Dude, seriously. I'm in your backyard.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't even know. Like, I just popped around a corner. I'm like, whoops, I'm in this person's front yard.
Yeah. Like, not even a second thought about
it. No, I'm like, I wonder if they've seen my dog.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm glad you shared that. That's, I mean, because that, I think, puts our privilege in a perfect box as far as like, because I would have done the exact same thing.
Right.
Without even thinking.
Don't even think about it. So, and just to bring it back to Rick Wood,
yeah,
that's what Reggie really helped. Not that that wasn't already on my mind, but I just feel like he did a great job, a courageous job of crystallizing what was actually being celebrated yesterday. I do think a lot of us were just like, this is cool. What a cool event. And it was. But if you just go deeper for a second, I felt that it was really important that we figured out, what is this commemorating? We're not celebrating just Rickwood Field. We're not celebrating just Birmingham, Alabama. Right. We're celebrating people. We're celebrating people who, you know, they should have been celebrated a long time ago. They should have been celebrated when they were playing. And for some of them, unfortunately, it's taken till now. Some of them, most of them, didn't make it to today.
Right.
Some of them were in a wheelchair down the first base line last night. Some of them were still able to walk in. That's what last night was about. For me.
No, and I think you put it perfectly, and you know, thank you to Reggie Jackson for really bringing it back to the reality of why this was such an important moment and such an important game. And I do hope that they find a way to do this on an annual basis. Maybe not at Rickwood, maybe they pick a different field and continue to try to celebrate the good parts of our past in baseball.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone calls welcome throughout the day, 888-957-9570. Tom Verducci was on the broadcast last night at Rickwood Field. What was it like? The inside of this event, behind the scenes, the actual voices, the players, Barry Bonds. Verducci has had a lot to say about him in the past. We'll get to all of that with Tom coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.